And Graham Downs is with us now. He is, of course, Senior Lecturer in Music at Otago University, a musician and a musicologist. And it's a year of 50th anniversaries for all sorts of things, Graham. But one of the better ones is the White Album. Good morning.
The Abbey Road Album.
Oh,
yeah.
What am I doing?
The cover photograph's been on the news just recently because it's the 50th anniversary of the actual taking of the shot, and the same looms for the album next month. I think it's later in September. So I thought I'd talk about one of rock's most extraordinary artifacts, the Side 2 medley. So today's talk, I'll just talk for 5 or so minutes, and then we're going to let the medley run through its whole 15-minute duration. Because it's kind of a very spectacular and rare object. In the early 80s, Professor John Drummond of Otago University managed to get a special topic paper on the Beatles through Senate, with some opposition, I might add, which I took as a graduate, and I wrote an essay on the topic of the medley's poetic or philosophical coherence. It's a big question because there's no single author, or rather the songwriters involved in the various fragments of songs are in a sense sub-authors, and McCartney and George Martin, the meta-authors who sequence the order of the tracks, and who are perhaps more responsible for whatever meaning coheres in the document. So my argument started back then that we cannot deny that there's a broad structure to the medley. If we start in the middle, there is a central triptych of Mean Mr. Mustard, Polythene Pam, and the various characters in She Came In Through the Bathroom Window. I think it's fair to sum them up as a group of character portraits of people who haven't turned out very well. Mr. Mustard is obviously mean and cheapskate. He's not well-to-do, and the level of his revenge on society is the pitiful yelling of obscenities at royal processions. Pam, his sister, possibly, an outsider, works in retail, is at least diligent, but there's a sense that self-creation stalled some time back, in the sense of a life moving in the same confined circle. The woman who comes through the bathroom window appears spoilt by privilege. She's protected by a silver spoon and sucks her thumb and wanders on the banks of her own lagoon. The woman in the second verse, possibly a different one, has done what she has always done, be a dancer in various clubs, a profession that undoubtedly will run out sooner rather than later. This is unstated but implied by the lines, and though she thought I knew the answer, well, I knew what I could not say. In this context, kind of pretty heavy. So the three character portraits suggest various growth curves of the shallow variety ordinariness of a sort observed by and sung by individuals fortunate to have experienced incredibly steep growth curves in both their personal and artistic growth. So that's the centre of it. The two songs preceding the triptych, You Never Give Me Your Money and The Sun King, strike me as youth songs, the latter through its carefree hedonism, and the former by dint of itself being a medley, the second section being footloose and fancy free, of, you know, out of college money spent, see no future, pay no rent, all the money's gone, nowhere to go, but oh that magic feeling, nowhere to go. Youth has a profligate tendency with regard to time because for them it is so plentiful. The mock Spanish-Italian that the Sun King dissolves into has a endless hours of rum and coke and Ibiza kind of vibe to it seems to me. So these portraits of indolence crash headlong into the hard as granite middle-aged realities of the triptych. That leads us to, after the triptych, we get Golden Slumbers. It purports itself to be a lullaby, but with very heavy overtones of mortality because of the underscored negation of any way home. When McCartney sings the title, his heart breaks, and maybe this brave staring down to the impermanence of things stemmed from the band itself, which was soon to break up. This segues into Carry That Weight, with the line, boy, you're going to carry that weight a long time. And it invites the question, the weight of what? And it seems to imply the weight of responsibility for life choices, or rather reaping of repercussions of action or inaction. And of course, it's the editing itself that forced me to interpret this way, because the music comes crashing back into You Never Give Me Your Money, just musically to begin with great emotional force and with heroic brass. And of course, everyone on show in this amazing medley is a hero. The Beatles themselves for having come to the point of being able to fashion this album, but also the people they portray, because existence is inherently heroic. And that leads us to the end, which after the "Oh yeah, all right, are you going to be in my dreams tonight?" travels through a drum solo and three guitar solos by the three guitarists to the final text. And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make. It could have come across as so much hippie claptrap without the journey that preceded it. And I think what this record is about is one great decision can lead to a second and on until a group of individuals arrive at a pinnacle such as this album. But it's a journey swathed in impermanence regardless, which they felt acutely at that point, I think. But great art kicks personal experience upstairs into myth, to impermanence in general, and whatever we can salvage from it. I haven't changed my opinion about the emotional force of this medley since my undergraduate years, because I'm still floored by the improbable achievement of it, its immensity and density, even 50 years on. So we'll play the medley and a quick goodbye afterwards.
Thank you, Graham.
Cheers.
Sing a lullaby. Go I will sing a lullaby. Once there was a way to get back homeward. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleepy darling, do not cry, and I will sing a lullaby.
There we have it. 50 well, years ago today, the album Abbey Road album came out, and that's side two, the medley. I just was thinking, listening to it, Graham, the medley as a form, do most artists employ it at some point? Was it particularly sort of prominent in the era of the album where you had so much room to play?
I don't know of another one of note. I mean, this, to say, it's a singular kind of document that... of tremendous imagination from McCartney and George Martin, I think. But, it's just an extraordinary thing. It grabs you by the scruff of the neck and just takes you to the 15 minutes of its duration And, you know, every time I listen to it, still, I think, you know, good art always fills me with gratitude. You know, good on you fellas for making that. That's pretty amazing.
And it's rule number two is, you know, always test out the B-side. You never know what you might find.
Yeah.
Often the best stuff. Graham, thank you very much as always. Graham Downs, University of Otago lecturer, senior lecturer in music, musicologist and musician.